All right, Wednesday evening, 2:24. I forgot the 21st, right?
Yeah.
All right, part three of the importance of being filled with the Spirit. All right, this morning I was getting this teaching ready, and it just kind of came to me, in Him, in the Scripture, means in the Spirit. It is His Spirit in us. Okay. Brother Hagin has a mini book entitled In Him. Be a good one to look up, because it's all full of all kinds of scriptures that say in Him and in whom and several other things. So, all right, go to Acts 17. Verse 28. Okay. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. I looked up the words here. Live means your lifetime. Move means a stirring. So we need the Holy Spirit in us to live. People that don't have the Holy Spirit in them don't live. They may have a life and they may do other things, but it's in Him. All of it, it's in Him. All right, Webster's there mean, being means conscious existence. That's what your being is. Now, let's put this in perspective. The natural body, that's the doorbell. Just take a peek. Okay. All right. Now, I want you to put it in perspective. We're going to talk about the natural man, and we're going to talk about the spirit man, or the spirit. You know, you're a spirit, too. In fact, you're a spirit first, and then you know, you have your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, and then you live in a body. How do you know when to eat? Your body gives you a signal. So we know how to do things in the natural. People do that and they don't even think about it in everything. People live and die, never tap into the spirit part of it, but everything they do is geared by either their soul or their body, right? All right, this is how I was trying to get. That's how we get into the spirit realm. It's the same. It's the same. It's your spirit man is now talking to you and giving you signals like your natural body does. That's the purpose. Is to learn to walk by the Spirit instead of just always walking by the natural. That's why people, Christian people especially, and I'm talking ones that are untaught, it's like they never teach you, and they intermix, they are always talking about the soul. You hear very little about man being a spirit being, but it's that he's a soul, a living soul. Well, he is, but he's also a spirit. The spirit has to be fed just like the natural body has to be fed. See, if your natural body is not fed, what happens? It'll just shrivel up and die. Well, if the spirit man's not fed, what will it do? It'll just shrivel up too. I remember Brother Copeland talking about praying for people that would come up and they would, he said, your spirit fills your body like, you know, your arms fill out a coat. That people would come up and he would see big old fat brains and stick spirits. Our big old fat body, and their inside their spirit, they were like a stick person. They were starving their spirit, but they were giving the body anything it wanted. So we're switching places from what I can see. Instead of, we were spirit first and we got turned upside down. The renegade spirit, what he did, it turned the world upside down. Well, Jesus came so we could stand right side up. And I've heard that term used recently by someone, that it's a world upside down, but it's fixing to be turned back right side up the way it's supposed to be. That's Adam in the garden. Adam means man, mankind, or blood in the face. It's, so learning to walk in our real nature. That's what the Spirit does. It's teaching us to walk by the spirit man first, the body comes second. All right. A lot of people don't understand that. If they don't see it, they don't feel it, they won't believe it. But in the Spirit, you can walk. And you can say, I know it. I don't have to see it. Right? I don't have to see it to know it. And faith calls those things to be not as though they really are. Because the manufacturing is inside. And it'll eventually manifest on the outside. Hope y'all, if, is that clear enough? Mm-hmm. All right. How will we be able to hook into all things spiritually? It'll be by your spirit. You cannot do it by your soul. And this is why many people never walk in the spirit, because they don't know how. See, the infilling of the Holy Spirit gives us an extra that they don't have. Now, yeah, you've got the Spirit when you're born again. But when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, like we talked about last week, that's for service, empowerment. And I believe it's for helping you to grow up spiritually. You know, Paul said, when I was a child, I acted like one, but when I became a man, I put away the childish things. That's what the Spirit does. It helps us to mature and walk in the ways of God. All right. If you want what God has for you, you must have help to access those things. Our help is the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus was going to be leaving, and I'm sure the disciples and the apostles were freaking out. And he said, but I'm going to send you. You know, I got to go away. He can't come, but I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you someone. We're going to read about that. This is John 14. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but we're going to read 15 through 18, then verse 26. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And then over here, 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So the Holy Spirit is there to keep us in remembrance of all God's done. All we have in him. Okay? All right, Acts 1, verse 4 through 8 here. I told you, men filling of the Holy Spirit is for our comfort, our helper, but it's also for service and empowerment for that service. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. He didn't leave us orphans. He didn't leave us here to fend for ourselves. A lot of people are in despair today because they are trying their hardest to fend for themselves. They don't have the Comforter, or they don't know how to access Him. Okay? We cannot depend on our flesh to get things done. It just does not going to happen, or not successful. All right? We have to learn to relinquish our control. We have a choice in the matter. I mean, Galatians talks about the walk of the soul, which is the walk of the flesh, or the walk of the spirit. So we can choose. You know, the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, right? Not by the flesh. That just makes a mess. All right, here's a few things Jesus said. Let's go back now. Matthew 8. Okay, this is 8:21. I'm making sure that I've got the right thing here. Okay. 8:21. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. When he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and there rose a great tempest. I don't think this is the right one. I'm sorry. Let me see if it's 18. No, that's not it. Well, let's move on. I just mentioned Galatians 5, so let's just go there. This is 5:16 and 17. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye are led by of the Spirit, you're not under the law. See, the law was just a bunch of do's and don'ts and external washings and sacrifices and things that they did, just fleshly works. Yeah. So walking in the Spirit is different. So many Christians call themselves, or so many that call themselves Christians today have not experienced what they call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In fact, they don't even know what it is. And they feel like if they're born again, well, you know, that's all you need. But the Scripture plainly talks about a second infilling. A lot of churches just do not teach it. They don't believe in it. They think, well, there's a Scripture, I don't have it. Do you know which one it is in Luke where it's the promise of the Holy Spirit that you will not receive a demon? When you get the Spirit, you will receive the Holy Spirit? I know it's Luke.
Luke 11.
Luke 11, okay. That's a good one to minister to somebody, especially that's, you know, uses that excuse. All right. Well, I'm not seeing it in Luke 11.
Are you talking about the one where he says,
I don't think it's. Yeah, it's. What,
yeah,
hey, I found it. I found it. Verse 9. All right. And I say unto you, ask, it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So that's, there's no fear in that perspective. There is no fear that if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, that you'll receive a demon instead. Because a lot of people think, well, that's speaking in tongues, that's of the devil. Well, it is not. And that's God's promise. All right, let me write those down. All right. Okay, let's keep going here. All right. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. So that means your body no longer calls the shots, does it? It's a sacrifice on the altar, right? And there's another scripture that talks about mortifying your members.
Romans 8:13.
We'll look at that here in a minute. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, what is that, good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All right, you said Romans 8:13. Let's just start with 11 there. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. What is a quickening? Whatever your mortal body needs, right? Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Not just led by the flesh. That's just the opposite here. If you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So the Spirit comes in. Like I say, he's like the heavenly GPS. He is there to lead and guide us into all truth and show us things to come. He's the one that we can always ask, what do we need to do in this situation? That's what praying in tongues is about. All right, going over to that same chapter to the end there, 26. Men are so caught up, church people, Christian people are so caught up, even spirit-filled Christians that don't know how to tap into the power that they have inside of them by the Holy Spirit. They just do stuff. They do what they think's best. And anytime there's a problem, they all run to the experts of the world. And that's okay if you've asked the Holy Spirit first. He says, yes, go to them. But if not, you don't have any business doing that. You can get yourself in trouble doing that. All right. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. These are weaknesses, maybe even sicknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, situations. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. See, the Holy Spirit goes to work on your problem, your condition, and he is going to bring an answer to you on what you're to do concerning it. Not just you just take off in the flesh and do what you think. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So this is a working relationship, the Holy Spirit in us. He came so that you no longer have to rely on your flesh and just do stuff and fend for yourself down here. If you learn to tap into him and use him, he will not fail. It says he will not leave you. He will be with you till. That's good news to me today. I hope it is to you too. I'm sure it could only be. All right, let's keep going this scripture, this with 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. This is the work of the Holy Ghost in you, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. A lot of people, you ask them, what's God called you to do? Oh, nothing. They will never know unless the Holy Ghost is engaged in them. He's there to show you. We just read that. Renewing our mind with the Word of God also will show us God's will for us. You're not in the body of Christ by happenstance. Every single person has a part to play in the body of Christ. And if everybody was filled with the Spirit, like we are commanded to do. I remember a lady one time, we were going to a church here in town or outside of town, and we had a home group, and this lady, I was trying to talk to her about being filled with the Spirit, and she just flat, oh no, you know, I got the Holy Spirit when I was born again. And so she just was not hearing any of it. Months and months later, I got a letter from her saying I was wrong and I want to thank you. I got filled with the Spirit and I understand what you meant. We had a couple do that. And they're Baptists, you know. They weren't going to hear that. No, 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 no. Later, we saw them and they apologized to us because they found out that, you know, there was a second experience and they received it. And they believe now. For what shall we then say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? How much more personal can you be to be inside God's Spirit in you to show you everything? And I mean everything. And I'm not saying if you go to pray, you're going to get your answer immediately. You may have to tarry a while. But he's there to help you with everything. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All things. Is that what's touching your life? What thing are you dealing with? All things. You can't go to the world and get all things. I'm sorry, you cannot. God knows everything. There is no limits with God. All things are possible with God. To him that believeth, all things are possible. Yeah. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. That'll sure change your attitude. It has mine. Who cares what a man thinks? I don't. Now, you love people, you care about their opinion, but when push comes to shove, the only thing that matters is what God says. That's it. Someone's going to accuse you and say, well, you know, you might have a point there, but you know what? All I care about is what God says, and if he says what I'm doing is okay, then I'm okay. Kind of like Keith Moore, he said, well, who are you? If God is for me, who can be against me? And I don't mean that in an ugly way. I mean that in a confident way. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. How does he do that? Romans 8, 26. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Lord, where are you? Where did you go? I'm right here. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, or IRS taxes, whatever, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor Biden, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. His Spirit dwells in us, and the same Spirit that raised him from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwells in you. I hope that gets y'all excited. It excites me to know what we have inside of us. We got dynamite inside of us. Dunamis power. Overcoming power. The devil's a liar. Get that through your head. He is a liar. Holy Spirit said to me yesterday, he said, if fear is behind it, you know who it is. That's his, the way you find out who it is. Does it bring peace or does it bring fear? If it brings fear, you know who it is. And you can go, shake. All right, let's keep going here. How rich is the spiritual life, and how shall the fleshy life have any comparison to it? It's just a shallow life. If all you have to show for the end of your life is a big house on the golf course and your little golf cart and whatever it is that does it for you. If that's all you got to show for it, you're like the man that built his barn and just stocked it up full. And then one night, he died. And it says, who's going to get all them things that he stockpiled but was not rich toward God? It's a shallow life. And I hate to see Christians that have not received the Holy Spirit, have not learned to tap in. We're going to do our best to change that. Because in him we move, live and move and have our being. In him. There's nothing else but in him. All right. Let me keep going here. I got a few scriptures. 1 Peter 2. Verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, hypocrisies and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, Ye also are lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood. See, this revelation that it's all about Christ in you, the hope of glory. The church is a spiritual house. It isn't a brick and mortar building that people just show up because it's a routine that they do. They've done it all their life. They plunk their money in the bucket. They read the bulletin. They have their little sermon. And then they go home and nothing ever changes. No, ye are a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. People don't understand. They get offended. Try to talk to them about speaking in tongues. Oh no, that's of the devil. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's this walk in the Spirit. Which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshy lusts which war against the soul. See, that's where the Holy Ghost comes in. He's teaching us to walk by the Spirit and not by the soul, our senses. James chapter 3, 13. Who is the wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. That's the walk of the Spirit. You don't need to fight with anybody. It's not going to get you anywhere anyway. All right, Colossians chapter 1. First scripture is 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. In him, all fullness. Yeah. 26. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. For whereunto I also labor, striving according to his workings, which worketh in me mightily. How do you think Paul received these epistles? By the Holy Ghost, that our church is guided by. All right, Colossians 2. Let's start with verse 1 there. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's all in you. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joined and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. And ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Yeah, that's a great passage right there. All right, Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God has so much good for us, but we have to walk in the Spirit to attain that. All right, Philippians 2:13. I just read that, 2:13. Okay, Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He's always there. I mean, was it you that the Lord said the throne room's always open? Never closes down 24/7. Doesn't matter what time of night or day. All right. I think I already read Romans 12:12. We'll look at it again. I put it down twice, so maybe we need to look at it twice. 12:12. Oh. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. That's what gets us through, y'all. All right, Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God has a plan and purpose for your life, and he will not stop working that plan. All right, a few more. You know, God is not going to knock you down and get you to do it. You know, he won't do that. And I think, you know, it doesn't seem that people are as adamant about it as they should be. Like in the book of Acts, they'd come across somebody, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Well, we hadn't heard there is a Holy Ghost. What I'm going through the book of Acts and I'm learning is they got them born again, baptized immediately, filled with the Holy Spirit. They did it, bam, bam, bam. Well, churches don't teach it. You know, they don't know. All right. Acts 2:4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Well, Jesus told them before to tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. All right, Acts 4:8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and the elders of Israel. Somebody that denied the Lord 3 times is getting in them leaders' faces and speaking. Bold. Got thrown in jail right off the bat. Also, one time got thrown in jail, got delivered by an angel. Because people were praying in tongues at somebody's house. That's our power source. All right, verse 31 here. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. All right, let's keep going. Acts 9:17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Right there, everything happened all one time. You don't have to tarry for the Holy Ghost. All right, Acts 13:9. They did, because it hadn't been given yet. But it's already been given, so. 13:9. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. In other words, Paul's being led by the Spirit to deal with the things that he had come across in his ministry. We should do nothing lightly, nothing. Given words or whatever you think, you need to vet it. You need to make sure the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and then when you're sure and it's all clear, then you let it rip. You know? Okay? Ephesians 5:18. Let's just do 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I mean, they accused him of being drunk on the day of Pentecost. All right, filled here means imbue, I-M-B-U-E, influence, supply, or fulfill. That heavenly GPS that will help you navigate through your whole life. All right, a few more and we're going to be done. Philippians 4. Now that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. There's the work of the Holy Ghost in your life right there. Okay, Ephesians chapter 3. All right, starting with verse 14, this is one of the Ephesians prayers. It says, For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So we can't have a church without the Holy Ghost. All right, Hebrews 13, this will be the last one. Verse 20, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Okay.